The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock. Welcome to everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. So many things to talk about on this Monday. And I'll first say at the top, it's an honor and a privilege for me to be working on Martin Luther King Day, a man I consider to be one of the four most important people of modern history. And we'll talk about it as we go on. So a lot of football over the weekend and a lot of product involving the Eagles. Including the coaching search that goes on. Now, Josh McDaniels is the latest flavor. And Todd Bowles is going to come in, and maybe they're waiting for Bieniemy. They've scheduled, they asked permission, the whole bit. But the most, a bombshell story dropped this weekend on Carson Wentz. And if you haven't read it, you should, because it makes all kinds of allegations as to what the divide is right now between this quarterback and the organization. And whether they can continue from this point on, because it's a muddled mess as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if they can or not. If the allegations in this story are true, I wonder how many fans want to continue. Now, here's the thing. We've talked many times about how the Eagles shaped the narrative. And I don't want to take anything away from reporters who get great information. But I don't know if it's true or not. So we'll just go down and pretend it's true. And here are some of the allegations that's made. It was Wentz alone that factored into Peterson's exit. We kind of suspected that it had something to do with it, but this story says it was him alone. Boom. You're not going to support Wentz, you're out. All right. Secondly, absurd allegation, stunning allegation, whether they're absurd or not, that Wentz hated Peterson so bad that he would intentionally kill plays that the guy called. Now, that's insubordination, if that's true, right? I mean, that's beyond, like, that's ridiculous. That's like getting a take sign on 3-0 and swinging away. Or actually, it's worse than that. All right, let's move on here. There was a sentiment that he needed to take more of the blame. He was going to always come out there and go, we did this, wrong, and he was never willing to take the bullet, which is really not accepted by a lot of teammates. In the quarterback room, and I'll just read this paragraph, which I find very interesting, and the story is written by Jeff McClain, the Inquirer, by the way. In the quarterback room, when his errors were pointed out, Wentz would sometimes make irrelevant excuses. And Press Taylor, who was the little buddy boy coach, wouldn't correct him. Now, team looks at that and goes, ah, your favorite son, huh? You know, deep inside, he screwed up, but you don't want to say it. That fragments the team. For instance, the story goes on to say, there would be a play where he didn't throw to an open receiver. The read was drawn up as designed. The coverage played out as expected. And he would be asked why he didn't pull the trigger. And Wentz would say the look wasn't there. Or he would overemphasize the pass rush and was suggested that the play be run again in practice as if to get it right. He would object. This paints him out as a brat. It's like in Top Gun where he was up there Tim Robbins at the point saying, Matt, take the shot. And he goes, oh, no, it's no good. It's no good. All right? Yep. Right? That's the same thing. No, it's no good. Play wasn't there. So now it goes on to go that Groh battled with Wentz. They didn't see eye to eye. And Wentz was more focused on playing to his strengths when Groh wanted to scheme plays to counter the defense. So this paints Carson Wentz as a totally self-absorbed brat who thinks he knows more than he does. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, because I can't decipher information now. It comes out against Wentz, whether it's true or not, or whether it's this orchestrated effort to make him look horrible. And meanwhile, he just sits there and takes the bullet. And there are a lot of people who say, well, you should speak up. I don't know. I don't know if he should speak up or not. I don't know what to make of this whole thing. This story, I don't think any team could survive something like this. I've never read anything like in other circles where this kind of information comes out that this quarterback is a sabotager. Right now, you guys read the story.
Yeah.
I was just like stunned by it.
And let's say it's all true. I would never say that anything mm-hmm. Jeff McClain wrote mm-hmm. wouldn't be true.
I think it's true on what he was told.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't trust, like, who's telling it.
And that's the problem. You see, the Eagles, in my opinion, this is just one person's opinion, have kind of cried wolf so many times and said so many things over the years to try to kill him that it's through no fault of McClain at all, it's hard for me to just totally buy it. And then that puts Wentz in a bit of a tough spot, because what happens if some of it is true and not all of it is true and you go speak? I don't know how you can clean that up in a press conference. You can't clean it up with a tweet. I don't know how you clean that up, because what if some of it's true? What if it, yes, there were times where I disagreed with the film study, but I didn't do this part of it. No one's going to believe. I don't know what you can say at that point. Also, I want to know, how do you allow it? If you want to keep them and you know you have this cap hit, how don't you have a tighter seal on your building to keep this from leaking out? Because now if you have to bring them back, it's poison what the fans are going to think about them. It's completely poison.
That's the point. Because actually, he's in an impossible spot. Not a tough spot. An impossible spot. Because it's out there now. And a fan base isn't going to, like, really dig into whether it's true or not. They react. They just react to what's out there. So when it comes to fair shake, when it comes to belief in your quarterback, this is out there hanging out there like just an ugly cloud that's going to absorb you.
Well, and my thought was when I first read it is, okay, say that it's true. And again, like Ty said, like this is leaked out there. What do the Eagles think is going to happen with this story being out there? And how do they think they're going to salvage, A, their relationship with Carson, B, now that they're saying Doug left solely because of Carson? I mean, I find that hard to believe, because it's your $34 million that you're eating next year. And also, like, how do you think that you're going to salvage this type of story with the fan base? Like, it just doubles down on the mess that it is. And it's like, at this point, does it even matter, A, what Wentz would say, and B, what the excuse is going to be for how they're going to fix this? Because it seems so irreparable at this point. And it doesn't even matter anymore what went wrong heading forward, because now this is the situation. And I just want to know, how are you going to fix it? We're not hearing that. We're hearing all about the BS from the last season and the interpersonal dynamics that they couldn't figure out themselves. But it's like, how are you going to fix this? Like, because we're not going to win if this is what we're dealing with.
Here's the bottom line. The only thing, if they're bringing him back, the only thing that he can do to salvage the situation is to play lights out every single time. Because if he doesn't, he's not going to get the slack of error. At this point, he's not getting the slack of error unless he's perfect every single time out. Because when you don't get the slack of error, the fan base and everybody that's following the team is looking for things to go wrong more than they're looking for things to go right. So he's got no wiggle room here.
You're right. And there's going to be a situation where you get a receiver. The read says throw the out. The receiver runs the in. The ball goes outside. It's not going to be, oh, maybe it was a miscommunication. It's going to be Carson threw a terrible pass. That's what it's going to be going forward. And I don't. And I have one other thing that's troubling. I know for a fact, 100% fact, that I've seen with my own eyes, Doug Peterson deny what was written in that story. I know that for a fact. Now, that doesn't mean that Doug's telling the truth. What I'm saying is, I know for a fact that Doug has said out of his own mouth that is not true, and him and Carson's relationship was not as bad as being portrayed.
Listen, I don't know what the truth
is. So to your point, I don't know what the truth is.
Yeah, I don't know what the truth is either. At this point, it doesn't matter, because perception becomes reality. And in this particular situation, the only way he can win is to be the ultimate hero through his play. So I don't know. Like, even when it comes to the coach, whoever they hire, right? If the coach gets off to a bad start, or he's not perceived as a good coach immediately by the fan base, Guess whose fault that is?
Carson.
That's also Carson's because he buried the other guy. See, this guy didn't want that coach who won us the Super Bowl. And now look, I don't know how you rebound from this unless you go 20 for 20
right.
for 300 yards.
And the other thing I'm wondering is why, and I'm still wondering this, if he's so bad all the time behind closed doors, Mike, why has there not been a single, we've heard from, you know, the leaks, the snitches, I'm talking about in his life, not a single valet parker, not a bartender, not a waitress, not a waiter, not a single human outside of that building has ever had one negative thing to say about him. This is the wildest thing in the world that to inside that building, he's wretched. But outside that building, he's got complete quiet. We've never seen anything like this before. Anything you say about Iverson, there would be people outside of that building that would say the same or worse. Any athlete, McNabb, people used to talk about some of the drinking and stuff that he did. He didn't have the DUIs when he was here, but apparently Donovan liked to have a pop when he was here. This is completely different, this Eagles persona and his life persona.
It is, but look at it this way. He may only be a brat when he competes. Because he's always been the best at a smaller level. I mean, let's face it, right? So he's used to being the best. So it is possible when he competes, he's got this superior attitude that he's always the best when he's not. And he doesn't show that in real life.
It's possible. But usually the guys that like to compete, in my experience, don't just like to compete on the field.
Yeah.
They like to compete all the time. They don't just like,
I get it.
I like competing in football. They like competing head off the line at the red light.
That could be overcome by his
faith.
His faith. I don't know. Everything we only have right now is theories. But I just want you to, like, perception is that whether this is true or not. And I'm not saying it's true or not. I don't know. He could be a brat. Only players could tell you that, right? And probably there aren't enough players that are going to tell you that. But the perception out there that he's this doesn't give you slack to fail at this point. So that's almost unrealistic to think that a guy is going to be able to overcome by not failing. He's going to fail somewhere along the line. He's not going to dominate every game, every play. So it'll be interesting. All right. Now, some other things to talk about. The Sixers situation is very weird. Tyrone, shed some light on the situation because you're ready to go. You're ready to work that night. Also, boom, about an hour and change before the game. They canceled the game because of the contact tracing because Valanciunas apparently was the affected player.
Yeah.
So now you have to go into this protocol. Where does it stand right now?
Right now, no one's tested positive. They stayed over in OKC. They came back today. They're going to update it. They don't play again until Wednesday, which actually helps them. Tomorrow they'll do another update with the test. They will have Embiid will be back for Wednesday. He wasn't with them, so he's not involved. And then Curry would be the earliest he could come back. So I think that it's going to depend on the contact tracing. It also depends on what some of the guys did off the court. Apparently, they play fuzzy with it because I guess rights to privacy. It's about what time you might have spent with a person off the court as well. So I wonder, does anybody on the team hang out with Valanciunas? Do they know him in some way? He ends up testing positive, and that affects contact tracing. It's not just what happens on the floor. It also happens, did you kick it with him at shoot around before the game? Did you see him afterwards at the hotel or something like that? That all plays a role with the contact tracing. But assuming no one tests positive, they should have enough players, the eight players necessary to play against Boston on Wednesday.
All right, just to be straight for the people out there, it's Valanciunas, not Valanciunas.
Yes, did I say Valanciunas?
Yes.
No, I'm just saying.
No.
I'm just clearing it up because, you know, because we have our own.
We
have our own Tunas here.
And that's his guy, too. That's his guy. Right, he loves all his country.
Well, of course he does.
He loves all his country.
All right, so well, on that note, I will tell you today, I have nothing more to say about Ben Simmons. So if you got something to say, I'll go. This is where I'm going to go. Oh, all right. That's going to be my response.
That's a good.
That's it. I have nothing more to say. I don't. I'm out.
What more can you say?
I don't have anything to say.
Right.
Yeah. I'll say this. I'm watching the game, and Tyrone, you can back me up on this. First possession of the game, he's got the ball in his hands, moves to a spot of about a 14-foot jump shot, didn't take it.
Correct.
First possession of the game.
Yes. And then there were other possessions where he ended up shooting some threes that missed, but wide open in the corner. A shot that's mandatory in 2021's NBA. He passes it up, ends up throwing cross court to Green, and Green makes it, but the mindset is still not changed.
Yeah.
The mindset has to change.
That's all I'll say. All right, because I, you know.
I'm a Bengali, and I'm saying it has to change.
Listen, dude, my Bengali, I got nothing. I have nothing left to say. First possession of the game.
And they're giving it
and
to
I
you.
Got, and that soured me the whole night.
Yeah.
All right, 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
To shed some light on a story you've been discussing today about how bad of a teammate Carson Wentz is, we go to the man who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia, Dave Zingaro, who's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Good. I need to get your reaction to this story, which drops over the weekend, which really does not paint Carson Wentz in a very good light. What do you think?
I'll be honest with you. I read it, and it was great reporting from Jeff McClain of the Inquirer, but not a lot of it really surprised me, which isn't a good sign. I mean, you read stuff like that, and it should really, really surprise you, but these are kind of themes we've heard about with Carson for a while. You know, that he's uncoachable, that he's not quick to take blame. I mean, it's not like a lot of these themes were new. Some of the details were new. I mean, I think the most damning thing from that entire report was the thought that he maybe killed plays out of spite. I mean, if that's true, that's a level of insubordination you just can't have on your team. I wouldn't want him on my team if that's true. But I mean, it's also impossible to know if that you can't know what led to him doing certain things. It's very possible he just had a bad read on something. He had plenty of bad reads this year, so. Overall, though, those themes are kind of things we've talked about for years now. It just kind of put some details behind them.
And let's get back to the point you mentioned, because this is what we've been talking about. How in the world can you continue? But first of all, the story suggests he alone got the coach fired. He did kill plays in a fit of insubordination. He doesn't accept criticism in the room. He looks at people like they have three heads, like he's never done anything. This is what the story is saying. That now the perception is out there now. How can this guy ever get a clean slate to be the quarterback if they're going to bring him back?
It's not easy. I think you have to worry about locker room dynamics, right? I mean, it's a lot of these guys have been here, and I think it's probably fair to assume that a lot of them haven't been particularly thrilled when they hear him not take ownership or when they hear him be resistant to coaching, because I think, you know, if you're going to be a great player, you have to take coaching. And I kind of go back, even the acceptance of blame, even we've seen that publicly with Carson at times. I go back to his rookie season. He's actually gotten a little better with that over his career, but I go back to his rookie season. I didn't hear a lot of eyes, Mike. I heard a lot of wheeze whenever there were problems with the offense. And that's kind of been a theme throughout his career. He's gotten a little better with it, but it's kind of been a theme throughout his career, like a lot of these things. And it's troubling because you'd hope over time he'd mature a little bit. He'd become a little more open to criticism and to coaching. And it doesn't seem like that's happened. Now, when you ask how can you have him back, that part is easy to figure out. It's not easy to do. It's easy to figure out because they've invested so much in him and they know he's talented. I mean, they know he's a talented player, and it's so tempting to look at him and say, we can do this. We can find someone to fix him. And that's the way coaches think too. I mean, if you're bringing in, you know, 10 coaches or however many have been so far to interview for this job, you want a coach to say, I can do this, and to have that confidence to think, I'm the guy who can fix Carson Wentz. It's so tempting to do it because you've invested so much, you know it's there, is it realistic that it happens? I'm not real sold on that.
There's a weird dynamic that I can't get past here. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to do a little psychoanalysis, amateur psychoanalysis here. So there are two theories. One is that because he's from such a small area and a small school, he would more be able to accept coaching to adapt to the NFL because he really isn't in that big school pool. And the other thing it brushes against that is that he's always been the big cheese because of the small pond. And so everyone else is wrong and he knows better than everyone else. Like, which one is it?
I think you hit it with the latter. I mean, he's always succeeded at every level of the sport he's been in. And honestly, he hit that level pretty early in his NFL career. I mean, his second year in the league, he's about to be the MVP of the league. So in his mind, he's thinking, I got this, right? Like, in high school, I was the man. In college, I know I played at a small school, but I was the man there too. I won a lot and I was really good. I was the number two overall pick. My second year in the NFL, I'm about to be the MVP if I don't blow my knee out. And I think that's probably where it stems from, is that he hasn't needed to be coached hard really in his career. And I think personally that's what would help him, but it ultimately doesn't matter if he's coached hard or if the coach is buddy buddy with him. If he's not going to accept the criticism and take the coaching, it doesn't really matter.
You got to answer something for me. Listen, you've been a reporter for a while and you know what goes on sometimes when you get information to get a story. Sometimes you'll get people from an organization to leak stuff to create a narrative that benefits themselves. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened here, but if it did happen here, I'm curious to know, since the Eagles really have no out on this with the 34.6, it seems like they're going against themselves by supporting such a narrative. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I understand your point here. I don't want to source guess, but you know, you kind of go through it and you have to remember there are coaches on the staff right now who might not be coaches on the staff in a week. And I think that, and it's not anything new. I mean, we've seen some of these leaks from this team throughout the last few years, and it's something they probably want to get a control over a little bit more with this next regime. I tend to think a lot of it's truthful, and you can understand where if you're someone in your organization and you're watching Carson not take coaching, it would annoy you, right? I mean, he's supposed to be this franchise quarterback. Yeah. I think it's only natural for players, for coaches to see that kind of thing, be annoyed about it to the point where they're willing to say something.
Yeah, nobody wants to say the opposite. You know, like this. Nobody wants to say no, I think he's been a great teammate. Blah blah. Usually, you'll see a little of that. Not this story was like one sided. He's this and he's that. And I just don't know how they can come back from something like this. And they kind of have to. And I don't know how they're going to be able to pull this thing off. Do you see where this is going at all?
It's going to take a lot of work. I mean, it's kind of like marriage counseling, I guess, in a way. Like, they have to sit down and hammer this out. And I think the next coach and the next staff will really go a long way to this, too. I mean, without knowing the next coach and the next offensive coordinator, we have to see those things, right? The next quarterback's coach. I think that stuff's really going to matter, because whenever those hires happen, they're going to have to sit in a room or virtually with Carson Wentz and try to see if there's enough common ground here to make it work. It behooves the organization financially, obviously, and more than financially, I mean, the draft picks and the time invested in this guy, it's massive. So I think they're going to try to exhaust every possibility to make it work before they might just have to cut their losses. I do want to point out, for the sake of fairness, that he did have teammates publicly back in this year. And by all accounts, like, once he was benched, he handled that situation well with his teammates. Maybe not well in the report he goes to complain to management, but from all accounts, he did handle that situation well among his teammates. So I just want to be fair there.
Yeah, we have included that also, because obviously that came out this year. We're talking to Dave Zingara, Cubs Eagles for NBC Sports Philly. Dave, we alluded to the coaching situation. Where does that sit right now in your mind? I know the Josh McDaniels thing went on forever in an interview, which is usually a good sign, but they didn't hire him either. So where do you think it's going?
Yeah, it seems like we're kind of getting closer to the end here. It certainly seems like McDaniels, if you had to pick a favorite, would be the guy. There aren't a lot of names out here left to interview. I mean, they've kind of exhausted them all. They've interviewed 10 guys. The Bieniemy thing is interesting. The last I heard a couple hours ago was that there hadn't been an interview scheduled with him yet. That interview was still, or the request was still out there. We'll see if they interview him. He seems to be a pretty strong candidate. He interviewed with Houston today, but yeah, it looks like all signs are kind of pointing at Josh McDaniels. I wouldn't completely rule out some of the other guys. I think Joe Brady is a guy still to keep in the back of your mind, but it certainly looks like, yeah, it kind of looks like Josh McDaniels might be the guy. We'll see. It's pointing that way.
All right. Dave, good stuff. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Mike. Have a good one.
Dave Zingaro. He's covering the Eagles for NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.